In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
Welcome. I'm glad you're joining me today here on the iSpy Radio Show, as every week we get you a little more intelligence on big government. You know, the more the Russian collusion onion is peeled back, the more clear it becomes that the Democrats are at the heart of it. Story after story this week shows the underhandedness of the Democrats, especially that they will and did use the power of the federal government to attack and try to destroy their political opponents. Where are the real Democrats on this, the ones who claim they love America? Why are they so silent on holding their own leaders accountable? But it's worse than spying on opponent or trying to charge them with crimes they didn't commit. Using the federal government against an opponent is just as bad as using the federal government to cover up the crimes committed by those in government. And that's what we're seeing. The FBI, the NSA, all scattering like rats when a light pops on, scattering to cover up their crimes, which is why they so desperately wanted to keep the FISA memo hidden. As the deep state empire crumbles, we're seeing just how far those in power will go to protect themselves and to destroy those who dare to expose them. We'll talk about all of that with radio show host and friend Jane Carroll. Another empire of sorts is also falling, the NFL. But could the whole take-a-knee scandal be part of a larger strategy? The NFL collusion, with whom and by whom, will surprise you. We'll do a little Super Bowl wrap-up with Burgess Owens, a former NFL player himself, and he has some real insights into the black community's take on Obama's promises and what he actually delivered, as well as what Trump promised and delivered. I'd like to welcome now Jane Carroll. She has her own show, The Jane Carroll Show, a conservative show that has been a mainstay on KUIK in the Portland area for 17 years now. You can hear her on KUIK 1360 or anywhere via KUIK.com. Jane, it's great to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, Mark, as always.
Yeah, we always have a lot of fun when we get together here. And, you know, I'd like to talk to you about this. Really, it's some of what we're hearing lately, it seems, out of the news is just borderline treasonous. And now we've got these recent text messages between the two FBI lovers that clearly show that Obama was being kept in the loop. And I know that people like Rush Limbaugh and others and Andrew McCarthy have said that this is sort of a normal thing. But even so, it's clearly shows that President Obama knew everything that was going on. And so when he gets on Chris Wallace's show and says, oh, my hands are off of these things, I'd never interfere with an investigation, that's clearly not true.
Well, it's certainly not the first time for any president to mislead the American people. The fact is that what's interesting about it is you're not hearing that every place. Mm. They're not hearing. Once again, they cover up for Obama. They always have in the mainstream propagandists, and they always will. Plus, I think Obama, by doing this, protects himself. It's really going to take a lot to get Obama. Mm. It's really probably going to take a lot to get James Comey. They have broken the law, they have violated the trust of the American people, and they have also violated the trust we have in our government.
Yeah.
No wonder they were so petrified of Donald Trump getting elected. The deep state did not want him on both sides of the aisle, and he is trying to drain the swamp, and it's pretty deep. It's pretty corrupt. And I think I wish more Americans were waking up to it, but most of them don't even hear about it because on most of the news, they don't discuss it.
No, and that is, of course, you know, those of us on the right side of the aisle know that we're never going to get fair treatment from the mainstream media. But it's amazing the lengths that the mainstream media is going to cover for Obama. I mean, you know, back in the day when we didn't have any Fox News and all the rest, I remember them being, you know, fairly objective. You know, they seem to be sometimes anyway with the Clintons, but I remember, you know, they were certainly not very appreciative or highly complimentary of Jimmy Carter. I don't remember them going to the lengths that they are today with Obama and to cover for Obama and to cover for Hillary.
No, and I think it's the kind of people that have been attracted to journalism. I sort of look back at Watergate. I think back at after Watergate, Woodward and Bernstein became not only superstars and very rich as a process of doing a expose on the Nixon administration, but a lot of people decided that if they wanted to be politically effective, they shouldn't go into politics or law. They should go into journalism. Mm. And I think a lot of people that decided and they were on the left, that let's go out there and that they think it's normal. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure if we thought everything was a little bit more fair and more objective, because nobody did anything but the party line. If it was, for example, look at Clinton. A lot of people are talking about Michael Isikoff right now because he's the one that did the article at Yahoo that was then used to get FISA reports that was with and Steele was the source. We now know that Steele, the source for that, was getting his things from people like Sidney Blumenthal, Clinton henchman. Michael Isikoff was the one that got the Monica Lewinsky story. He was working for Newsweek. He had it all. He had dates, times, details, an exhaustive report, and the story got spiked by Newsweek. They decided we're not going to cover this. Mm. And that's when Drudge got hold of it, covered it, and the story broke. We would never know about Monica Lewinsky if it was up to the mainstream media.
No, that's very true. And I really think that was the turning point for so much of the media was – they had to cover for Clinton because what he did was so egregious. I mean, here he is having sex with this intern in the Oval Office and then lying about it. They had to cover for him. And
while
I think
he was
that
while he was under investigation for a sexual harassment charge.
Yes, I know. And so I think that was really the turning point for so much of the media is they lost their sense of objectivism and decided they had to provide cover for the president. And now we see that with what happened with the Obama presidency and now, of course, with Hillary. They had to cover for her as well. You know, there's a lot of people on the conservative side that have seen Obama as a puppet for those like Soros who were the real power behind the presidency. How did you perceive Obama's presidency? I mean, how much of it was Obama and how much of it was Obama doing someone else's bidding?
I've never really bought into him doing some other people's bidding. I think he's somebody that, he has people, money sources, and people that, you know, back him and that kind of thing. I think he's very ideological. I think he's very, I think he has a lot of innate, built-in contempt for this country. Hmm. And I think he thought, I can change it to something that is better from my perspective, and he did a lot to change it. But the most dangerous thing that he did, because so many of us, even those of us that didn't support him or his ideology, thought with his election, that is the end of dark period of racism in this country. It was emblematic of we had moved past that. People were getting along. It was it was much, much better. He took us back. To the
decades.
Civil War days.
Yeah.
He literally took us back to the Civil War days. And not only race against race, gender against gender, age against age, geography against geography. And that is a very leftist tactic. Divide the people to conquer the people. And he's hurt our country in immeasurable ways.
Yeah, he absolutely has. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break there. Coming back, I want to talk to you about the FISA court and the Uranium One scandal. Can we ever trust our government again? And welcome back. We're talking today to Jane Carroll of The Jane Carroll Show, which is on KUIK 1360 out of Portland, Hillsboro. KUIK is, of course, one of the four stations in Oregon on which the iSpy radio show also broadcasts. Jane is on from 3 to 6 Monday through Friday. You don't have to be in the Portland area to listen. They have a great new and improved radio player on KUIK.com. Nothing to download, totally free. Just click the button and you're good to go. I'd like to talk to you now a little bit about this Uranium One scandal. This is something that has now surfaced. The FBI informant Douglas Campbell testified this week about the Uranium One deal that gave away 20% of our uranium to the Russians, apparently in exchange for millions of dollars of so-called donations, some might call it bribes, flowing into the Clinton Foundation. So what was your overall take from some of his testimony and what we're hearing this week?
Well, he's been trying to get this out for some time, and the Democrats were trying to block him. He is a man who is he's terminally ill. And he wants this out before he passes away, and they've been trying to, you know, run the clock out. But he has a really good lawyer, Victoria Tunzing, and they've been fighting to get this out. I think this whole Russian thing it's not a good thing, but compared to the Clinton Foundation and the related crimes, I think it's very, very minor. I think the Clinton Foundation is a story of deep-seated corruption. And I've been screaming for years, why doesn't anybody audit the Clinton Foundation? Do you know, Mark, that they have 2,000 employees at the Clinton Foundation? I don't know if they do right now because the donations have sort of – when there was nobody to buy anymore because the Clintons aren't in power anymore, guess what? The donations dried up.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? But, yeah, of course, the donations weren't political in nature. It's coincidental that happened.
Oh, they wanted to help kids in Haiti. Yeah, we know the people in Haiti hate the Clintons because all that money, our government money that went to help the Haitians rebuild, ended up in the Clintons' pockets. They hate them. But that's a whole other part of the Clinton Foundation scandal. Many of those 2,000 employees happen to be the children of, the offspring of, the nephews and nieces of NBC network executives, ABC network executives, and owners. So you have all these people, your kids, working for the Clinton Foundation. You're not going to go after them, are you?
You wouldn't think so. And yep. Certainly not fairly, anyway.
No. And so and that's who they wine and dine with. The Clinton story has so many tentacles and so many corruptions, from selling out of the national security to the Ralph Corporation, gave them $1 million donation. All of a sudden, technology that the State Department during the Clinton era said, we can't sell this to China. But guess what? They did. And that technology allowed Russian missiles to reach our shores. You don't think that wasn't shared with the Koreans? They are so corrupt and so money driven, and they've gotten away with it. Yeah. They have gotten away with it. But it's interesting. We're not seeing much of Bill lately, and we're not seeing much of Barack Obama these days. You have to wonder why.
Yeah, isn't it amazing how quiet they've gotten all of a sudden? But, you know, in terms of, we've talked how the media just doesn't cover these guys fairly. But it's also within our own government. It's like, why does nobody ever do anything about these Clintons when the crimes are so patently obvious to even the most casual of observers? I mean, where is our government that's supposed to be enforcing the law?
Well, I think that's what this whole thing is revealing with the Russia thing, that we have some corruption and partisan corruption in some very high places. And thank goodness these things do come out, because the media has been derelict of duty. Their job is to be our watchdog, to find these things for us, so that the government knows people are watching. And for a long time, they have felt we have carte blanche to do whatever we want. Yes. These two ridiculous star-crossed lovers, as they called them, I don't know when they worked. I don't know when they had an affair, because they were always texting each other. But this was obviously not something – these are FBI agents. They're not even covering up their tracks, because nobody was watching them, they thought.
Well, the one new bit of text messages that came out, apparently they did eventually figure out that they might be snooped upon. And so they did get those new disposables, the burners is what they're called, with the cell phones. And so that way, whenever they talked about Hillary, they used those phones. But I think that's the thing that impresses me, whether you're talking about Hillary or whether you're talking about James Comey or whether you're talking about some of these other guys on and on down the list. It's pretty clear that they never had any real fear that they might actually be held accountable. And that's what we see time and again with these government agents and with somebody like Hillary. It's like there very much is a two-tier system for justice in this world. Well, there are those who are like the Comeys and the Clintons who don't fear the law because they know it won't be enforced.
Eric Holder. He gets caught in lying to Congress.
Yes.
Is held in contempt of Congress. Do you even get a $10 fine for that?
Yeah.
What are the repercussions of being held in contempt of Congress if you're an Eric Holder?
Well, you might get a scowling look from somebody in the Congress, apparently, because you're right. Nothing actually happened out of that.
Nothing. And he's talking about running for president.
Yeah.
and this is a man that he got pardons out of the Clinton administration for people like Mr. Rich, that, of course, donated. His ex donated millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation. The Clinton Foundation was a way to buy off the Clintons, and everybody knew it, and they knew it that when she was Secretary of State. I don't believe Hillary Clinton took her server and her computer and didn't put it on in the State Department computer because she was really trying to expose state secrets or didn't care about it. I think she was trying to hide what she was doing for the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I agree 100% on that.
And it was worth the risk.
Well, if you're getting hundreds of millions of dollars, yeah, a lot of people might take that risk. Okay, let's go and take a break there. We'll have more with Jane Carroll. Come back. We'll talk about that FISA court. Stay with us. And welcome back. We're talking today to Jane Carroll. She hosts her own show in the Portland Hillsborough area on KUIK. You can listen to them on KUIK.com. If you're in the Portland and Hillsborough area, you can listen on 1360 AM. And Jane, I want to talk to you about this FISA court. This is something that has just become astronomically appalling. I mean, and of course, it's a target-rich environment when we're talking about government and appalling. But, you know, here at the FISA court, what's come out of all of this is that the court grants warrants 99.96% of the time. Out of 36,000 cases, only 14 were not approved. 12 of those were withdrawn withdrawn by the government before the court could even rule. Two were denied, one of which was this Carter Page warrant, which was initially denied. I mean, this is straight out of Soviet Russia, with the Soviet courts being nothing but the good housekeeping seal of approval for the Politburo and KGB. We want to spy on foreigners, especially foreign terrorists. We don't want our government to be spying on Americans. But the FISA court was nothing but a rubber stamp. What are your thoughts about this?
Oh, absolutely. Every once in a while, you find some issues that the far left and the far right agree on, and this is one of them. If it worked as they say it works, that you have to make a very compelling case without any doubts or any holes in it in order to get one of these warrants from the FISA court, then I could see more of a justification. We don't know who these judges are. They're anonymous, and I guess it's the ultimate secret. And evidently, it isn't all that hard. The FBI asks,
No. The
FBI gets. And can you imagine how weak that one was that was turned down? What did it have? A phone book in it or something? It just there are no standards. Whatever the FBI wants, whatever the Justice Department wants, they get.
Yeah.
And that's not a safeguard. That's not a safeguard at all. And if the first one was turned down, do you know, I did not realize this until this week, that the man that they got the initial, the so-called Trump operative that got this thing on, he's never spoken to Donald Trump. He's never met Donald Trump.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, you're talking Carter Page, right?
Carter Page, yes.
Yes. Well, and the other thing that I saw is apparently he actually used to work for the FBI. Some of these court cases that they've gone back and dug up, it turns out he was this guy that actually helped get them some other KGB operatives, and they're in court, or they're found guilty already. He was the agent on that, and that came out in the news because the news broke the story, and they linked him as male number one or something like that in this court case. So, I mean, that's really suspicion in and of itself, that here Carter Page used to work for the FBI. Now they've turned on him and made him into their secret boogeyman on this FISA court case. In terms of the FISA cases, if we have 99.96%, and apparently, you know, you can submit a cartoon case and get a warrant opened. I mean, isn't it time to start declassifying large swaths of the FISA in the intel community? Because we need to start looking how many of these other FISA cases now need to be reopened.
Well, and how many of them are there, and how are they used? And the Obama administration was using his IRS to go after his political
yes.
enemies. I have firm belief that NSA. NSA was, you know, his computer firm that ran his campaign, and they did an amazing job. That was state-of-the-art and get out the vote and all that kind of thing, especially compared to, you know, the old horse and buggy that Romney used that broke down on Election Day. But they are real good computer people, but they were brought in to set up the NSA and bring it into the modern age. All of a sudden, did you notice that people that were – people like General Petraeus – people like Chris Christie, who were sort of considered some of the leading contenders to run against Obama in 2012, or run for other jobs, you know, or run for other things for the. All of a sudden, they were being brought down by emails. Where did they get those emails?
Yeah, it's really suspicious how suddenly the FBI and NSA has got all this technology, and now all of a sudden, I mean, it's like there's this blackmail that's happening behind closed doors.
Yeah, and yet nothing on the Clintons. They interview Hillary Clinton for a national security violation after national security violation. They don't videotape it. They don't put her under oath. And then they exonerate her 2 days later. We now know that was already predetermined and the fix was in.
Yes.
And they don't even go through the pretense of following the rules because nobody made them.
Well, you know, there's the strength of these intelligence communities, really, and their strength and power comes from the fact that they hide in darkness and secrecy. And I just think it's time that we start shining a light on these guys.
The other thing is, and everybody says it, every Republican says it, before they say anything about the FBI. Well, of course, 99.9% of them are all wonderful and they're doing and they're all straight as an arrow.
Baloney.
Why aren't they quitting?
Yeah.
Why didn't we remember? We heard all about those people that worked on that on the Clinton case, and then after Comey did that press conference where they said they weren't going to press any charges, and there were piles of resignations on his desk. Did any of them ever quit? I'm sorry if you're. I think this is deeper than just these top honchos. I think that the FBI needs to be drained.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. And you know, good leadership inspires good followers, you know, in terms of the FBI. If you had people of high ethics there at the FBI, they would be attracting other people of high ethics. You know, instead, when you've got somebody like a James Comey, look what became of that agency. And I think that's really something that has been exposed to me is the deviousness of people on the left. You've got Adam Schiff, who's purposefully including classified information so that way it will have to be redacted, and then he can turn around and say to Trump, oh, well, you're hiding information, you're protecting yourself. I mean, I can't even fathom people that think that way.
But I love him. I want him. He's a Nancy Pelosi. He's a Maxine Waters. He's an embarrassment. And I want him to stay high profile.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They certainly are revealing who they are. That's for sure. Jane, I want to thank you so much for your time. Jane also has had a fantastic post this week about the Super Bowl and how the football, the NFL, meant so much to her and her family. We're going to put that up on iSpyRadio.com on today's show page. It's a fun read, and it may change your mind about what you think about the NFL. And speaking of the NFL, we'll be talking with Burgess Owens here, so stay tuned for that. Jane, thank you so much for your time.
Always a pleasure, Mark.
All right. We just had the Super Bowl this Sunday, and for the first time in probably 25 years or more, I didn't watch it. In fact, my wife and I forgot that it was even on until well into the game, and I think that really says something in and of itself that we didn't even think about it. Speaking of the Super Bowl, I'd like to welcome Burgess Owens. He is a former NFL player, first with the Jets and then with the Raiders. He is the author of the recently released book, Liberalism, or How to Turn Good Men into Whiners, Weenies, and Wimps. Burgess, it's good to talk to you again.
Mark, same here, my friend. Looking forward to chatting tonight. We have some great topics, so I hope everybody stays tuned in for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you actually played in the Super Bowl, and I'd like you to think back to that year, but superimpose on that this whole take-a-knee protest from this last year. So there you are, about to take the field. Would it have bothered you as a player to know that one-time fans like myself didn't even realize the game was being played, or that we resented how the league had been so tarnished from these anti-American protests? Would that have bothered you?
And no question. Well, you know, Mark, it speaks to the different times. I can remember so many times, you know, standing on the sideline, actually getting teary-eyed throughout the years, because you look at the flag, you listen to the anthem, You recognize how blessed you are to be there, to have those opportunities. So it's a totally different day. And it's interesting you made that point. I happened to watch this game. It was the only game I watched the entire season. And I will say this about this particular game. It was a very good game from beginning to end. But more importantly, the feelings that we got before the game started, the pro-American, the God Bless America, the national anthem, it was just a fantastic feeling. And it's actually one that made the game worth it. So that part was good. And again, we're on a different day. And I think it's important that America understands that we do have a new NFL. And as we understand who that is, we can also recognize where we should put our trust and not put our trust.
Yes. Well, you know, the NFL as an organization definitely took a hit this year with the whole take a knee fiasco. Ratings were down throughout the year. I know the Super Bowl ratings were also down. Do you think the NFL will have learned anything as a result? And do you think that they'll take any steps to fix it next year?
That's a good question. And I'll be honest with you. No, I don't. I think what happened this year is that we really do understand. And, Mark, we've talked about this since the very first time we started chatting about it. We have to understand that as a country, it is not a black and white issue we're fighting. It's an ideology. An ideology is the Judeo-Christian values versus Marxism, socialism, atheism. And what we saw this year is that the NFL is not on our side. They have purposely decided to go the social justice route, which is Marxism. They purposely decided to go anti-patriotism by having these guys take a knee when they could have made sure that wouldn't happen. And they purposely decided not to put advertisements like "Please Stand," but instead we put other political advertisements. So I think the key is a couple of things. And we've been here before. Back at 9/11, many of us were shocked when ABC decided days after 3,000 of our fellow Americans were killed not to have their TV hosts wear American flags. It was because they saw themselves as a neutral arbitrator. They saw themselves as a global business, not an American business. And we took it, we saw it, and we just let it pass. But what we have now is an NFL that is a globalist. They really have taken a big, big hit this year. 23 million Americans did not watch the playoffs. And people like you and me had to decide whether we want to watch the game or not.
Yeah.
But, when you're looking at a strategy that's in Ireland and Mexico and England, and you put all that together and you put together a contract where the commissioner is making over $200 million, but he's making $3 million a year, but it's over $50 million in incentives. We know from that process that they're not going to be trying to build their business here in the United States. They're trying to build their business internationally, and if it has to be anti-American or neutral, they don't mind doing it because that's what socialists do. They use you, they abuse you, and they throw you away, and so that's what the NFL has come to mean today.
Well, I think one of the more shocking moments throughout the season was where they were playing a game over in London, and they stood for the British national anthem, but then they knelt during ours. And, when I saw that, that was just so disgusting. And you're right that, for years now, we've seen it with the NFL where they're continually reaching out to a more international audience. So I guess the anti-America theme that we've seen this year maybe plays into that.
That's exactly. And I think that's what we have to make sure America understands. I was actually in Ireland about 3 or 4 weeks ago. That's when they were talking about NFL. That's when I recognized this reach they had outside of our country. Mm-hmm. And it's been Goodell has been talking for quite a while about having a Super Bowl in London. So they understand that they can lose. They don't mind losing 23 million of Americans as long as they get that plus more internationally. Mm-hmm. And I was just so disappointed in a league that allowed this to happen. The NFL was a pro-American standard. It represented who we were in overcoming and fighting through. It was one place we came together, no matter what our ideology might be, and we can root with each other as a family, as a team. And they're taking that away because we have a group of socialists that care more about their global profits than they care about American patriotism. And as Americans, we have to realize this is not going to change. This is who they are. We now know who they are, though, if we pull back the curtain. So let's not let ourselves be fooled to think that they put a little bit of patriotism in the mix every now and then, that they'll change their ways. They put $90 million into social justice program this year. Van Jones, an avowed Marxist. That's who they are. So they're no longer our friends. They're no longer people we can trust. And we need to understand who they really are and work based on that, respond based on that.
Well, from a business standpoint, if they're looking at replacing 23 million with 50 million foreigners, I guess I could see where that makes sense. Although I would rather keep the 23 million Americans and then add those other 50 or maybe 100 million simply by showing the NFL as a pro-America, pro-capitalism, you know, everything else that's right with America and strong with America, and then project that to the world. But unfortunately, they seem to think that in order to get people to watch it, you have to be anti-America, and I think that says an awful lot about them. Let's go ahead and take a break there. We're going to talk a little politics when we come back. Obama's hands are not clean. How is the black community reacting to this? Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today to Burgess Owens. He is a former NFL player, first with the Jets and then played in the Super Bowl with the Raiders. He's also the author of the book Liberalism or How to Turn Good Men into Whiners, Weenies, and Wimps. You can find that on Amazon or just head to iSpyRadio.com. And then at the top of the page, just look for the store link and that you can order it right from there. So we were talking about the NFL in that last segment. And, our previous guest, Jane Carroll, actually had a really touching post that she put up on Facebook talking about the loss of the NFL and watching Super Bowl and what that meant with her and her dad and how watching football really brought back so many great memories and fond memories with her dad. And she was really heartbroken over the NFL. And I certainly have a lot of great memories with my dad, too. And my brothers, we would go see the Buffalo Bills when we lived in the area there. And it was a lot of fun times, a lot of great times. And it is very sad to see what the NFL has become. But what's even more sad is, I think what you were saying in this last segment was that it doesn't sound like the NFL has learned anything. I think a lot of us were hoping, well, let's give them another chance next year and see what they do.
Well, you know, Mark, one thing I could say about socialists, Marxists, and atheism, the ideology is based on betrayal. Mm-hmm. Their priorities are never what they say they are. And again, this is what the black community has been dealing with for close to a century with the Democrats. It's always stealth. It's always lies. It's always a dream of something that they're not because there's another agenda. And at the end of the day, unfortunately, we've watched the NFL change from such a great brand that truly it represented the American way in every way possible.
Yes.
And now we're recognizing that we're being betrayed. And these guys could care less because with the kind of money they're making, there's a lot of arrogance that comes with it, too. And so at some point, I believe the free market will show its way. Maybe they will be making a misstep in terms of the growth, the pace of the growth internationally. And then we, at the same time, can hurt their pocketbooks here nationally. So we need to make sure that we show ourselves that they fire people like this Goodell, this commissioner, fire people like that and make a big enough noise that they'll bring somebody in that truly does love our country and goes back to the good old American way.
Well, I was really shocked, actually, that the owners renewed his contract.
Me too. Hmm. Me too. Yeah, well, you would think better.
Yeah, you would think, yeah, absolutely. You know, you were mentioning the black community there and what the NFL had meant to them. And that kind of brings me to my next point, is that we're now seeing that Obama's hands were very dirtied with a lot of this deep state stuff. There was a text message released earlier in the week there between Peter Stroke and Lisa Page. And it said that POTUS, meaning President Obama, wants to know everything we're doing. And this is shocking on a lot of levels. We see the deep state at work and in our face. And we see that Obama was very clearly involved, even though he publicly said that he wasn't. How is the black community reacting to seeing the so-called first black president? How do they react to seeing this?
Well, keep this in mind. When I mentioned about socialism, first of all, President Obama is a socialist. So betrayal is part of their makeup. That's the MO. And what the black Americans have been able to see over the last 8 years, because he was such a terrible president, he talks a lot of stuff, a lot of noise. But at the end of the day, the people who were really helping the most to get the chances to get an education, to get jobs, were the ones who hurt the most. So what we're seeing, there's still a pretty strong base of loyalty there. But what's happening for the first time is many Americans, black Americans, asking the question, well, what happened? Is there a difference? And you have more black conservatives speaking out boldly that this guy did not come through like he should have. So the greatest present that Obama gave us was he was such an in-your-face liberal socialist. And therefore, we're now asking questions. And because we're asking questions for the first time, it's not going to be as quite of a surprise to many people to see what's happening. I think the most important thing is that we have a president now who not only is very, very pro-American, very pro-flag, very pro-jobs and in life, that those American, black Americans, black and white, who truly still believe in those values, those dear Christian values, they're going to start to feel more comfortable coming home again. They'll start to see past the politics or the party and start looking at their values and say, you know, this guy does, he might not do as professionally, as presidential as they all have done in the past, but I'm feeling better because I have more money in my bank account. I have, my kids have more options in terms of school. I feel good because I'm American again, and I see America first. So those kind of things are going to really, because it's such a difference, begin to have black Americans really coming back to our base that we kind of grew up in.
Well, I can't help but think that they're feeling disillusioned with Obama. I mean, he came in with such huge expectations. Did they feel like they were used at all? Because, I when you look at the Black Lives Matter groups and how this was, you know, held up as somehow it was going to bring racial unity, and it had the exact opposite effect. Did they feel used?
Well, you know, what it is that there is a group of black Americans who will never change. They're bought into the victimization ideology. They are socialists themselves. Then you have a group, what I call the royalty black class, that's elitist. They're not going to change because they, too, are socialists, and they believe that they go along with what Obama's done to other black people, using them as a strategy for their political gain. But there's about one-third of black Americans who feel the way I do. And they might still be voting Democrat, but they have, at the same time, they have an empathy for other people. They love people. They love our country. And they begin to ask those questions. And, yes, they're many of these are very disappointed now or will be as time moves on. But more importantly, they're still open. And as long as we can have a base of Americans across the board that still believe in our values, then we'll be blessed as a country. The minute we do not have a strong enough base, then we start to have real problems where I'm concerned. I'll say this. I think because of our base of good Americans, people still love each other. They serve. They have a belief in God. They believe in the tolerance in our country. Is the reason why we had the miracle on November 8th of 2016. That was a miracle for us to get a president who's now really getting his legs. He's getting his legs under him. And it's the only person in the entire campaign that could have dealt with the deep state, with the lies, the propaganda that still comes out. I am totally amazed at the fact that the left has no shame. The MSNBC, CNN, they have absolutely no shame in what they say. The truth has nothing to do with them.
No.
They'll do whatever and say whatever they have to say because they're trying to push an agenda. And it's sad to see it. But I think at some point there's going to be a reckoning, too, with them. That the American people are going to realize these guys cannot be trusted, and they're going to lose out also in some manner in what they've been trying to get done.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go ahead and take a break there. We'll have more with Burgess Owens come back. We'll talk about some of those Trump accomplishments and fulfilling those promises. Stay with us. And welcome back. We're into our final segment now here on the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today with Burgess Owens. He is a former NFL player with the Jets and then later on with the Raiders. He is the author of the book Liberalism or How to Turn Good Men into Whiners, Weenies, and Wimps. Just look for that on the iSpy Radio store. Just head to iSpyRadio.com, the store page at the top of the page. So, you know, recently it was released that Trump's economy has blacks with the lowest unemployment ever recorded. Is that being heard and felt in the black community?
No, it's not being heard yet because, again, we talked a little bit about the mainstream media. They are not going to report that. But the great thing about our economy is that people start to see it in their pocketbooks.
Yes.
And the good thing also is that there's one time during the year, the State of the Union, where everybody checks in, whether they're pro or not of Trump, but they heard stuff that they had not heard before. So So it's gonna happen because this is one area that people feel it. And when they start also having other options with the education, those are things they understand and feel and they like, and they're going to continue to want to know more about it.
Well, it's got to have an impact when you start seeing people that, you know, in your neighborhood you knew used to be out of work, and all of a sudden they're getting up early and heading off to work. I mean, that's got to have an impact, I would think.
There's nothing more exciting, and there's nothing more exciting to be able to get up and go out and perform, period. And as an add-on to that, another piece of it is go out and know that you can start a business up. So what's happening now with the lack of the pullback of regulations, with the impact of being in the Black community, you have people that are going to say, you know, I'm going to start my own business. They're going to start succeeding. They're going to see this directed to the new administration, not the old, which they did not have these feelings. So it's all going to be good stuff for sure. I see it.
Well, what did you make of the Black Caucus and the Democrats at the State of the Union address? They're just sitting on their hands when Trump is saying things like that. You know, the lowest unemployment ever in the Black community, and they just sit there. What was your reaction to that?
Well, I loved it because I think what people need to see is just who they are. They saw scrawls. They saw negativity. That's who socialists and Marxists are. You saw a picture of it, and I hope people can see it over and over again. We talk about succeeding and people having more income and more jobs. They're not happy with that because the ideology is not winning. So, again, that's the portrayal of socialists. They could care less about people. They care more about their positions, their power, and profits. And we saw that like night and day. And I'm glad we had such a positive message from President Trump and such a negative message from the left, which is who they are.
Well, I don't know who thought that was a good idea to sit there on their hands like that. It's you know, whoever you can imagine them getting together there before the State of the Union, and they have their little powwow and say, okay, whenever he says something really good, we're still going to just sit there on our hands. I mean, I don't know who's in charge of the strategic communications for the Democrats lately, but I swear they actually work for Trump.
Can I say this, Mark? Remember where wisdom comes from. It comes from our Heavenly Father. It comes from God.
That's right.
These guys have no clue. So whether it be how they, because they're sitting the government down, sitting on their hand, they will continue to make mistakes where they have a lack of wisdom. And people are going to start to see it. And these guys have no clue of how to make this work, so how to connect to American people. So I'm just proud that we have a country that woke up, which we always do. We now know who the enemy is. It is the NFL leadership. It is the Black Caucus, the Democrats who have done all this stuff in the past to get us in a position of misery. And we're now coming out of it. So we have a bright day ahead of us, and we're making America great again. And I love that agenda for sure.
Well, one of the many promises that Trump made to minorities was to improve conditions within the inner cities and open up job opportunities. And also with schooling. And we know that his head of the Department of Education, that's been a big focus of hers in terms of trying to get improve schools there with school choice. We only got about a minute here with you. What are some things that you're hearing from some of these inner city groups?
All the things we talked about, the things that got me excited was, number one, having school choice. We're going to see that happening over the next couple of years. We're going to start the lack of regulations to have businesses within the community. You're going to start to have young men beginning to start to work and with the prison reform, which is something I'm very close with, very hard on, with a company we have, with a nonprofit called One Heart Project. So you're going to see a lot of good things, Mark, and just people stay tuned in. Be positive. Know that America is coming back because we have a president who loves our country more than anything else. And we did the right thing. We chose the right person. And I'm just proud of everybody who's part of that process. We're going to start to see our country win again big time.
Well, that'll be awesome. Burgess Owens, I want to thank you so much for your time. This is always fun.
Thank you, Mark. A real pleasure, my friend. Let's do it again real soon.
And thank you for joining us today. We certainly hope that you're at least a little wiser for having been here. You know, the next couple of weeks are going to be very revealing. There's a lot more to come out as the deep state is continued to be exposed. Now, if only the Justice Department will actually punish the wrongdoers. Otherwise, what is the point of having laws? How far up did all of this go? Is there something in those 33,000 deleted emails of Hillary's that would tie Obama or Hillary or both to all of this? Or was Obama giving orders without actually giving orders? Like King Henry II and Thomas Becket, the Archbishop of Canterbury. Look it up. Because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The iSpy Radio Show.